RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
Dr. Pam Peek, New York Times bestselling author and founder of the Peek Performance Center, and Michelle King Robeson, leading women's advocate, entrepreneur, and founder of EmpowHer.com, host the show everyone's talking about. It's time for Her Radio on RadioMD.
I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Raise your hand out there in Her Radio Land if you are a perfectionist. Come on, if you own a set of ovaries, by definition, you are. That's just sort of my rule. I think it's in our DNA, but who knows better than one of the world's leading experts on, not just perfectionism, but one of the things that ensues when you are a perfectionist, and that is procrastination. That's right. When you're a perfectionist, you just are paralyzed. So Dr. Tim Pitchell from Carleton University and the author of My Bible, Solving the Procrastination Puzzle, A Concise Guide to Strategies for Change. Welcome back, Tim. It's so great to have you talk about perfectionism. How's that get in the way of getting things done, and what's the relationship with procrastination?
Well, thanks, Dr. Pam. It's great to be back. You know, there's more than one flavor of perfectionism. So we'll lay them all out, and I'll talk about the one that's related to procrastination. There's the self-oriented perfectionist. That's the person who just wants to do it well for him or herself, because it's all about achieving your own standards. There's the other-oriented perfectionist. I won't say much about that, but that's the person who's always trying to say you should be perfect, and not about them. It's the social, and they're not fun to be around, and if you got a boss like that, you're going to have one big headache, or a parent like that. And if you have a boss or a parent like that, you're probably going to end up with the third type, which is my focus, socially prescribed perfectionism. It's socially prescribed because you've internalized negative evaluations from others and unrealistic expectations of others. So the moment you think of something, you've got that other person in the back of your mind. Think of those cartoons where you'd see the angel on one side and the devil on the other. Well, that's what you're kind of talking about. You've got that voice in your head that's saying, that's not good enough. You know, you can't live up to that. That's not the standard you should be reaching. And of course, what that evokes is a lot of negative emotions. And that's when we can start talking about procrastination.
Uh-oh. Now, those negative emotions, I mean, you know, most of the women I talk to, and Lord knows I've been busted for being a perfectionist as well, really feel very paralyzed by feelings of shoulda, coulda, woulda. You know, you look back and I should have done this and whatever. At the same time, you know, the shame, blame, and guilt, like what's wrong with me, you know, and why can't I get off first base? And then you sit there paralyzed. So what about those negative feelings and all of that, that it seems like we've got a firestorm going on inside of us and we just can't get anything done?
Well, thanks. That's why I stopped there, just to make sure we're going to focus on the fact that all this negative self-talk that you've internalized from others, that we short form as socially prescribed perfectionism, leads to these negative emotions. And those negative emotions, how do we cope with them? Well, we can escape them by leaving the task. Because procrastination is not a time management issue. It's an emotion-focused coping strategy. And I can't say that enough, because the moment you understand that, you start to get inside of, what is it I'm doing when I'm procrastinating? I'm trying to feel good now. So I've got this internal dialogue going on, and a lot of it's non-conscious. You don't even recognize it because it's such a pattern in your life. And you have that whole shame trip you're talking about, which is a horrible emotion. And we'll distinguish it from guilt, because guilt can actually lead me to change. If I've done something and I feel guilty about it, well, I'll try to repair it. But shame is about my whole person. It's not just about one thing. It's like, oh, I'm such a loser. I'm such a horrible person. And now the only way I can cope with that is just to kind of move away from the whole thing. And so now the focus then is, so what do I do with all these negative emotions? Well, therapy can help in some ways, but, you know, that's a long process. And really, even after therapy, we're still going to have that self-talk going on. It's in there deep, right? It may be that you never lose the self-talk, but here's where mindfulness comes in. You know, if you're doing yoga, if you're practicing mindfulness meditation, you're really on the path to beating perfectionism, which is good news, because many people are practicing mindfulness or practicing yoga or putting the two together. And when they're doing that, then they're learning that I don't have to look through my emotions. I can look at my emotions, and I can go, wow, isn't it amazing the strong emotions I have about that? And then we just watch them go by and we don't have to react to them. And the moment we get there in our lives, the procrastination doesn't happen. All that negative self-talk doesn't own us anymore. And we reduce the shame. So there is a real a positive story in here. And it's something that lots of people are already working towards because it's so helpful in terms of stress. But the good news is it's helpful in terms of dealing with the shame you just talked about.
I think that the shame is, it's interesting. One of my patients said to me, she says, geez, I'd love to get off first base. My problem is my shame is so profound. Mm-hmm. I'm already late. I mean, you know, my deadline was like 2 weeks ago, whatever. I feel so bad about it. And, you know, it could be anything. We're talking about her radio. We're talking about all things, you know, women's health, for instance, and well-being. So, you know, they promised that they'd show up at that health club, that class, and they let their friends down because the friends wanted them there. Or it could be anything. It could be, you know, you feel bad because you never did get to the grocery store to be able to, you know, get those healthy foods and take good care of yourself. It just goes on and on. And that when that shame happens, it's really hard because then it just gets deeper and deeper. It feels like you're going deeper into a rabbit hole. You know, I'm late already. So help us get out of that rabbit hole.
Yeah, but that late already, that's a fascinating thing. You know, we started talking just before we got on air about this book that I'm doing, and I got the galleys back 2.5 weeks ago, but without any notice. All of a sudden, they get dumped on me saying, in 48 hours, we'd like these back. Well, I was actually on a short vacation, and then I had a very busy period of work, and then I had a family commitment, and I felt badly, because I have that perfectionism running in me, even though I don't have that second X chromosome, although I think my gender is strongly female in that regard. I suppose you would argue it is, and that I felt shame. And I'm thinking, what's the story here, Tim? Why are you beating yourself up? Because, you know, all procrastination is delay, but not all delay is procrastination. So I was delaying, and I felt I needed to apologize. And I think that sometimes part of the shame comes from the fact that we're not even looking at our delay in a really objective way, that we're taking on that pain right from the habit in our life.
Can you go back to that for a second? Say it again slower. That whole issue of delay and procrastination. I want people to hear that out there because I don't think they really understand the difference.
Glad you want me to repeat that because it's such an important piece. All procrastination is delay. No doubt about that. But not all delay is procrastination. So I heard you say in passing, I didn't get to the grocery store. Or I can think I didn't get those things washed, or I didn't get that stuff put away, or I didn't get that room picked up, or whatever it might be, that report finished. But there's lots of reasons things get delayed. And so in the case of my galleys for the book, it was that I had a long time scheduled vacation that I desperately needed. I had a commitment to family and a family day up here in Canada. And all of these things are happening. And then I got the flu, if you can imagine, after all that. I'm thinking, okay, now I can get down to it. And then I got
sick. Oh, my gosh. You were
so
like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was the perfect storm of having to apologize. And I'm thinking, why am I apologizing?
No,
someone else
you
don't have to apologize.
Me.
No, but
yeah,
we do.
Yeah,
we
someone
wear
else
it.
Did that. I want to make sure that everyone knows that we're talking to Dr. Tim Pitchell. He is one of the world's experts on procrastination. And now we're looking at the relationship between procrastination and perfectionism. He is the author of Solving the Procrastination Puzzle, a concise guide to strategies for change. That, by the way, is my absolute Bible. I love, love, love this book. And when we're talking about perfectionism, bag the shame. Go for the mindfulness. Mindfulness is where it is. Thank you, Dr. Pitchell, for being on Her Radio. We're continuing our series with you to make certain that we get everyone on board with how to deal with procrastination. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and email us for askher@radiomd.com for our questions. Stay well.